Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to My Good Nanny Radio, MGN Radio, the best show on Blog Talk Radio for family information and entertainment. Thanks for tuning in.
MGN Radio. I am your host, Miss Tassie, and I'm broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. And I want to welcome everyone to the MGN Radio Show. For those who might be new joining our show, MGN Radio is the number one show on Blog Talk Radio for family information and entertainment. We broadcast live each week, and we have a variety of shows. We interview celebrity moms and dads, everyday working moms and dads, and we just strive for positiveness and information. So today, as some of you know, is my daughter's birthday. So I want to say happy April 1st to everyone. It's my daughter's 9th birthday, and I'm super excited, and she's such a joy, and her name is Zena, and we're just really, really excited about today. So it's a new month and a new day in Nigeria. So our show today, we're going to be talking about the Nigerian presidential election, how that works, what happened. All over the world was tuned in to Nigeria, which is a country in Western Africa. And they were tuned in to Nigeria because there was a huge election going on. And if you go to Twitter or some of our social media, everyone was using the hashtag Nigeria Decides, because this was the year that Nigeria was going to decide on the presidential outcome. And it was an amazing process, and we have several guests that we're going to have pop in and some questions and answers and just talk about the whole process on the road to Aso Rock. And for those of you who might not know, Aso Rock is kind of equivalent to the White House in the United States of America. Before we begin, we just want to say thank you to all our listeners and fans all over the country, all over the world. We appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in to My Good Nanny Radio, or MGN Radio, as we're so affectionately called. And we really appreciate it. Today's show is being sponsored by Hair Yum. Hair Yum is a vegan hair care product, and it's www.hairyum.com. And basically, it is great for hair care, promoting hair health. They have shampoo, conditioner, deep conditioner, and a leave-in souffle. And they're coming out with a yummy, vegan, all-natural vitamin. Do you have dry hair? Do you need more moisture? Do you want your hair to grow? Check out hairyum.com. All right. Got to get into the show, because as everyone knows, the show flies all the time. And I want to introduce our first guest, who is Paul Arenica. I hope I'm saying that right. he's a political analyst. He's a member of the adjunct faculty at Grand Canyon University. He's the author of 6 books, including Nigeria, One Nation, Two Systems. And his new book is called Stock Market Trading for Beginners. All books are available on Amazon.com, and we're so excited. Let me see if I can connect him to our fabulous show. Paul, are you on?
Yes, I am, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for that warm introduction. Thanks.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, so let's get into it, right? A lot of people, and thank you guys, I see you on the chat room. So basically, President-elect Buhari, you know, a new day and a new Nigeria is upon us. And let's talk about the, we know the outcome now, right? But let's just talk about the two parties and what happened. So just for our listeners to know, for the first time in Nigeria's history, the opposition has defeated the ruling party in democratic elections. Muhammad Buhari has won Nigeria's presidential election, and he defeated incumbent Goodluck Jonathan by about 2 million votes. So let's talk about the two parties. You're a political analyst. Tell our listeners about the APC party and the PDP party.
Okay, thank you, Tosi. I appreciate that. Well, the APD, the PDP, excuse me, is the ruling party in Nigeria, and they have basically been in power for about 19 years since Nigeria reintroduced second democracy following the military rule. And they have been in power. It's been a lot of Nigerians that are not happy with regards to the level of corruption in the country. And PDP have not been able to address that problem. And it continued until very recently with the new problem of Boko Haram. So the PDP really... their backs are actually against the wall. But on APC, APC is the opposition party, and it was formed when two parties, the ACN and the party, Buhari's party, merged. That was about two or 3 years ago. And they formed... the new party, which is the party that Buhari ran on its ticket. So basically, those are the two political parties that are, you know, number one and number two in Nigeria. There are many other political parties, but for most, for our purposes here, those are the only two that are truly representative of over... probably 90% of the entire country.
Yes, yes. And those are, I mean, in the bio to the show, we mentioned there like 14, they mentioned 14 political parties, but like you said, those are the two parties that are really the ones that, you know, the APC and the PDP and the party. So thanks for talking about what those parties mean. So this is the first time in history of Nigeria that a sitting president wasn't reelected, and we have so many people with their thoughts as to why. And I want to kind of get to what each party stood for. And you know, Buhari is 72 years old. He's going to be sworn as president of Nigeria on May 29th. And he'll take the helm at a critical time as Nigeria grapples with the violent militant group, and you mentioned Boko Haram, serious economic woes, and corruption, right? This isn't Buhari's first time leading Nigeria, but it was his first time in nearly 30 years. Talk about the military coup, how it brought Buhari in the late 1983 to a defeat, and why you think so many Nigerians elected him as president?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, Nigeria has had over 29 years of military rule, and during that period, it was more like from one military dictator to another. So it happens that Nigeria's duly elected president, Shehu Shagari, was overthrown by Buhari himself in 1981, I believe, 81. in a military coup that brought him into office. And the problem is that he introduced so many draconian measures that were actually, you know, not welcomed by most Nigerians, including some people were charged for drugs and actually killed because Buhari government was operating, you know, using different strategies, not under the civilian democratic model. And there was a particular lady who was killed, Gloria Okun is her name, and she's a mother and was charged for smuggling drugs. Never convicted, but before everybody knew it, she was shot and killed. So that was the type of reign that Buhari instituted when he was in power, and so many Nigerians were not happy. He made some efforts into fighting corruption, but again, wasn't you know, much that he could achieve under those 2 short years. But eventually, he was overthrown by another northern military dictator, Babangida is his name. So that was what ended his reign in the 80s, till you know, Nigeria began experimenting with democracy, and he has been trying, running year after year. I think this is his 4th run as a Nigerian president under the Nigeria's new civilian democratic dispensation. Tosi, are you there?
Yes. So, no, I think that was a very, very good analysis and review. We are chatting live about the Nigerian presidential election with the outcome, President-elect Muhammad Buhari, and a lot of people were chatting that, you know, they hope for a smooth transition in Nigeria as he wins and marks the first democratic transition of power from the ruling party. Just a couple of facts. Nigeria is the most populous country in Africa, but it's also grappling with violent Boko Haram extremists. And also Nigeria is Africa's biggest economy, but up to 70% of Nigerians live on less than a dollar a day. So a lot of people are expecting huge, huge things for this new president. Again, we're using the hashtag Nigeria Decides on Twitter, as well as other social media. We are chatting with Paul, who is a political analyst, adjunct faculty.
Grand Canyon?
Yes, at Grand Canyon. Yeah, I was. So, no, thank you. So, now, I see some questions in the chat room, but before I want to get to those questions, I just wanted us to chat about just the differences, you know, between, you know, the president-elect as well as, you know, the Jonathan Goodluck. So let's talk about security, and this is things that both parties had mentioned they would do. Okay, so Jonathan Goodluck, security. He says Boko Haram can be defeated in April, seeks greater regional and international cooperation to tackle the terrorism, piracy, and organized crime. Buhari says the government has been ineffective and lacks the willpower to fight Boko Haram, pledges to end the insurgency within months if elected. What do you think about that, Paul?
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is that current president has, you know, ignored the problem of Boko Haram for a long, long time, including when the group kidnapped over 200 Nigerian students, young girls, one of the federal schools, Chibok. So that has been a major problem that his administration has not been able to actually provide security and go after Boko Haram. Part of the problem is saying is that people who were in charge of the Nigeria's security situation are people from the north. Incidentally, the same north where Buhari comes from. But it's really not a good explanation because he is the commander-in-chief, and he is the one that Nigerians expect that he would go after Boko Haram. He tried and tried to get some weapons from the United States. We all know he was the Obama administration, you know, turned that down for many other reasons.
Yeah, can you just, because a lot of people talked about that, and even I was in Nigeria in December, and, you know, we had like a round table with some guests, and people were very upset about that and blamed Jonathan Goodluck, but they also talked about Obama. Can we just say, if you, you know, again, this is your opinion, but why do you think that was? Why do you think that Obama really went against that?
Well, that's a very good question, and there are a few thoughts on that. Some people think that is part of an effective lobby, which is, you know, being mounted in support of Buhari by some of Obama's, you know, friends. A name that comes to mind is, I believe his first name is David Axelrod. He was the one that ran the Obama campaign. And incidentally, he was the one that Buhari and APC hired to help them, you know, as far as Buhari's international image. And so that's one, you know, possible issue there. The second issue is that some people believe that the Obama administration isn't happy with the position that Nigeria took with gay and lesbian situation. You know, it's very illegal in Nigeria, and the Nigerian government has, you know, come out solidly against any form of gay marriages. Not only in Nigeria, many other places in Africa. So those may be the two intervening variables, but Obama administration really knows why they denied to sell weapons to Nigeria. This is a United States that understands the tyranny of, you know, fundamentalism and the wage wars and fundamentalist groups from Afghanistan to Iraq and Libya and you know, and you name it. So that's, as far as we know, those are the issues, you know, surrounding that decision.
Yeah, no, that's a very, very good analysis, I would say, of the situation. Now, what about, let's go to the next topic. We talked about security. Let's talk about the economy. So Jonathan Goodluck says he will continue, if he, and we know he wasn't elected, but he said he will continue with his economic blueprint known as the 2011-2015 Transformation Agenda. He views economic diversification as a key step toward addressing the fall in global oil prices. Mohamed Buhari says government economic policies have worsened the lives of Nigerians, promises to pick competent hands to run the economy, pledges to tackle poverty by closing the wealth gap through shared economic growth. Now, and I mentioned at the beginning of the call, 70 cents a day is what 70% of Nigerians live off of, and we know the exchange rate, I think, now is like 212 naira to $1. So the economy is tanked. People can't find jobs. Do you think this played a role into Jonathan Goodluck not being elected?
It played a small role, but the problem is the economy is not as bad as it was being painted. And I know I did an article surveying the opinions of five different powerhouses for, you know, economic analysis all over the world. And you know what? All of them gave Jonathan a very good mark for what he and his economic minister, Konjo-Iweala, have done on the economy. But the problem, the recent issues with Nigeria's economy, there are two factors. One is the recent collapse of oil prices. Nigeria, most of the budgeting in Nigeria was based on that oil will be, sold at $100 a barrel. But all of a sudden, oil prices has collapsed in the international market. I think last week when I checked, it was around $50 per barrel. So there is that serious problem from that economic angle. Now, on jobs, Jonathan did not create as much jobs as expected, and that's one area that he needed to work hard. But he has done so many. The list of his achievements are over one page long. He rehabilitated the Nigerian railway system, which no other Nigerian leader has been able to achieve. He rehabilitated all the airports in the country. I mean, I can go down, but I know we don't have the time for that. So he relatively did well. But one of his biggest problems is that his campaign, they did a poor job. They did not highlight some of his accomplishments. And by the time they started doing that, it was already late. But on Buhari, the biggest problem with Buhari is that he's making a lot of promises, but has provided no clues as far as what he's going to do. Nobody knows, even as we speak. He has not provided any serious, economic agenda of what he's going to do. So the issue is, what is he going to do, judging from the fact that the Nigerian economy is going south, partly because of totally dependent on oil revenues. Now, Jonathan has done a little bit of diversification, and which is what, you know, many Nigerians are suggesting, that Nigeria cannot continue to, you know, rely on oil revenues to fund its domestic economic programs. So, we also know that part of the reason why the Nigerian economy is doing badly, those of you that are into financial markets, we know that the U.S. dollar has been appreciating for a long, long time. And many third world economies are suffering because the value of their currencies have been heading south since the strengthening of the U.S. Currency. And that affected Nigeria very significantly, to the point that Nigeria's currency have lost another 25% in the last 1 year alone. So all of the problems are not Jonathan's making. Some of them are beyond him. But the fact is that, you know, the buck stops with him. And that is partly what the election was indirectly about.
Yeah, exactly. And that goes with any president, right? Unfortunately, people blame the current president when things don't go right. You know, they say but you're right. A lot of the things were prior to Jonathan Goodluck, and then things he was dealing with as he took presidency. Now, we have some questions in the chat room. So, again, we're on with Paul Onwenneka, and he is a political analyst, adjunct faculty at Grand Canyon University, and he's chatting with us just about, again, these are personal opinions, opinions based on experience as well as his own teaching and research. So let me take a call, 864. Let me take your question. You are on MGN Radio as we're chatting Nigerian politics.
Good afternoon. There's a song out called It's All About the Base, and I want to go back in time. I know that the corruption exists everywhere to a degree, but prior to independence in 1947, Britain allowed Pakistan to go its own way. At one point, Pakistan territory was a part of the British Indian Empire, and when India got its independence in 1947, the British advocated for them going their separate way. In 1914, the northern and southern Nigeria Protectorate unified under Lord Lugard. But however, in 1960, the two remained protectorate together. Do you think that had the British done the same thing they did in India, Pakistan, that if northern and southern Nigeria had been separated, that the degree of corruption would not be as much? And as Alwalawa has called it, the geographical expression of black unity would not be so apparent. Number two, what do you think of Buhari's program, Why, the War Against Indiscipline?
Okay, thank you. Those are great questions. You know, on Nigeria's socio-political issues with respect to the different ethnic groups, you know, there is a wide feeling in Nigeria that Britain actually contributed a lot to the current problems Nigeria is having. Of course, Britain caused problems everywhere, so that's easy for everybody to understand. You know, when Britain was in power, they indirectly, you know, supported the northern Nigerian political groups to the point that they could not bring them as part of Nigerian protectorate as they did with the South, Southern protectorate, Lagos in the East and the rest of them. So they worked out this arrangement with Northern Nigeria, what they call indirect rule. It was just a way for them to get the Northerners to go ahead. So many of the decisions the British people made were indirectly in support of positions of the North against that of the South. And over the years, when independence finally arrived in 1960, Northern Nigeria seems to perceive that you know, they are really the ones that are supposed to be ruling Nigeria. So anytime there is a non-Northerner ruling Nigeria, it could be a problem. So, I'm not sure if corruption, if the two countries were separated, that corruption would have been eliminated. I know that from governance perspective, it may have made, you know, more sense, particularly in light of the fact people don't want to talk about this, but the fact is that northern Nigeria is predominantly Muslim and southern Nigeria is predominantly Christian. But, you know, but I think Nigeria is better off remaining as one nation because you look around the world, you see organizations countries are even joining together. Look at the European Union, North American Trade Free Agreement. So the bigger that African economies are, the better that I think things will be for them when they finally resolve their problems. But that's you know, what I think on that. As far as Buhari's program, War Against Indiscipline, the problem with that is that his administration in the 80s was going at it the wrong way. We are actually targeting mostly ordinary Nigerians. I remember when people were just being flogged on the streets when they were trying to catch buses. They want everybody to line up. And so those are just cosmetic issues, because the problem of corruption in Nigeria is somewhat largely institutionalized, to the point that Buhari went after some governors and some politicians, but many Nigerians feel those were not actually the corrupt people that he went after. And some of them who were jailed and imprisoned were actually not found guilty of any corruption. So his administration was eventually overthrown and by another military government, also from the north. So it's more like a cycle of what we've gone through.
Great, great, Paul. I think that was a great review and answer. And thank you, caller, for listening. We see you all on the chat room and on the phone lines. Thank you for listening to MGN Radio. And, again, we are chatting with a political analyst. He's an adjunct faculty member of Grand Canyon University and the author, I think I mentioned this at the beginning, of 6 books, including Nigeria, One Nation, Two Systems. And his new book is called Stock Market Trading for Beginners. I love it. And all his books are on Amazon, so it's really great. So we've talked about security, economy, and now a lot of people, right or wrong, when they think of Nigeria, corruption always comes up. Jonathan Goodluck had talked about fighting corruptions. He says it is not by publicly jailing people. Yes, we believe in suppressing corruption, but our emphasis is in prevention. Buhari says one of his key priorities to wipe out corruption, if Nigeria doesn't kill corruption, corruption will kill Nigeria. And that was a famous quote that people were tweeting on social media, that Buhari, being a military man, you know, a disciplinarian, that he was really going to wipe out corruption. Now he's president. Do you think this also hindered Jonathan Goodluck in his bid for the reelection? And what do you think about Buhari's statement about corruption?
Well, you know, one thing that a lot of people forget is the fact that when the first time that Buhari tried to, you know, fight corruption, he was ruling under military decrees and you know, just basically doing anything he wants to do. But today, Nigeria is a functioning democracy. So there's going to be a lot of problems, if he wants to go and unleash a very serious fight against corruption. It will have to be, the executive has a role to play, but a lot of that issues, there are so many other actors, the Nigerian House, the Nigerian Senate, the Nigerian court system, you know, the judiciary itself. Nigeria has an agency that is in charge of fighting corruption. So it's not going to be as easy as he thinks. Although we Nigerians are going to support him, but we will not, accept undermining the rights and privileges of Nigerians. Either those granted by the Nigerian Constitution or through the Geneva Convention. Those were the problems in the 80s when Buhari was in power, because none of those issues, impacted on what he had to do, because he was a military dictatorship. But today, Nigeria is different, and he will have to, walk through the Nigerian institutions if he is to wage a legitimate fight against corruption.
Yeah, and this is, corruption is one of the things that I would personally, as a Nigerian, you know, a Nigerian American, would love to see eradicated from Nigeria. So I guess time will tell. We are chatting live on MGM Radio, talking about the road to Aso Rock. And for those of you who might not know, Aso Rock, just think of it as an equivalent of the White House. And the Nigerian election, you know, took place. And a couple of people in the chat room wanted me to explain how the electoral system works. And please, Paul, if you want to jump in, but let me just say that the Independent National Electoral Commission, INEC, you know, promised a clean ballot. All 14 candidates, and like we said earlier, the two main candidates was, you know, Jonathan Goodluck, who was the, you know, the current president, against Buhari. All 14 candidates have signed an agreement binding them to, you know, credible and nonviolent elections. Official campaigning, you know, started and then ended March 27th, 24 hours before polling day. The candidate with the most votes is declared the winner in the first round as long as he gains at least 25% of the votes in two-thirds of Nigeria's 36 states. And what was very big and why this got a lot of attention, biometric cards were used for the first time. And so nearly 80% of the nearly 70 million eligible voters obtained their identity card, and the minimum voting age in Nigeria is 18. And so the polls were open, and, you know, just like we do in America, people went and they voted. And it was a pretty impressive process. You know, people lined up, and they had police officers deployed in strategic areas to make sure there was no violence, no crime, even though we heard that there was a lot of, you know, different reports about, you know, crime happening or underage voters being allowed to vote. But overall, a lot of Nigerians expressed, you know, a lot of happiness that they actually got to decide on the 2015 election, which Buhari emerged as the winner. Okay, now a couple of other points. Just want to compare Goodluck to Buhari was employment, and we talked about the economy, but this specifically is what Jonathan Goodluck said. He promised to create 2 million jobs each year. He launched the UYOU WIN scheme for young entrepreneurs and Sherpa initiative aimed at helping graduates find jobs. A lot of people said that you know, they were disappointed in that. And then you had Buhari, who promises to create 20,000 jobs per state, which totals 720,000 jobs, and he pledges support for the agricultural sector and soft loans for small manufacturers to boost creation. Paul, you're a political analyst. You know Nigeria. I mean, what compared to two theories or, you know, pledges, promises about employment, and do you think Buhari, that is what helped him also, you know, win the election?
Well, yeah, that's you know, election campaigning is always, you know, people can always throw out whatever they think will help them win the election. But I one thing we know for sure is that the economic conditions in Nigeria is deteriorating. And part of it is, like I mentioned earlier, is a global phenomenon, which is Nigeria is losing its revenue base. Maybe Buhari can help in diversifying the Nigerian economy, for one. But one problem that a lot of people have is that we don't know what Buhari is going to do in terms of the economy. Nobody does. And that's one big question which is looming everywhere. So until the beginning, the APC starts making policy statements about what they plan to do about economy and, you know, jobs and everything. Everything else is just, you know, barely speculative. Right? He hasn't talked much. Now, on Jonathan, he we have to go by the standards you have. He did not meet most of, his predictions in terms of the number of jobs, but he has done fairly well in that direction. Nigeria has a relatively, steady economy up until maybe 1 year ago. And there has been growth in Nigeria in many different areas. He has increased production of power. Nigeria is plagued by very rampant power interruptions. He hasn't solved this, but his administration has drastically improved the power output in Nigeria. And we believe there is only a question of time that he may be able to, solve that problem. And now we are back to square one. We hope that Buhari would build upon some of the many achievements of Goodluck Jonathan. Many of them are, played down for some reason. Part of it is situation with Boko Haram. And let me say this with Boko Haram, because that's one area. Actually, Buhari winning the election, he owes Jonathan some, credit. He was the last the push over the past 2 months that made it possible for a lot of people in Buhari's constituency in Northeast Nigeria to come out and vote. Those areas were already, much of it have been taken over by Boko Haram. But the Jonathan's government, when the election was delayed for 6 weeks, they mounted a very strong, defense posture against Boko Haram, and they've taken over almost 25 towns and that villages that Boko Haram had occupied. So the question everybody is asking is, why did he not do this all along? Why would he wait until, maybe 6 weeks to the election to start going after Boko Haram, So finally, the other thing is, Jonathan lost this election largely on the issue of security. Nigerians are very scared. Boko Haram has damaged, killed almost, 8,000 people. So Nigerians are really very, very afraid, and that's part of the reason.
Yeah, and that's what a couple of people had. Mentioned it was the security, the 200 girls, like you mentioned, hashtag bring back our girls, which people are still talking about, bring back our girls, they didn't see that, and it was, those were some of the main points. And a couple of people in the chat room are saying, when you commented about, Jonathan and the Boko Haram, some people are saying that he did do his best. And thank you for the comments in the chat room. Okay, the last two I wanted to chat about, and as always on MGN Radio, time flies, but the last two kind of points is infrastructure. Goodluck said he credits his administration with reviving the railroad system and improving road infrastructure. And I will say, and let me talk about Buhari. Buhari pledges to complete stalled road projects and improve infrastructural development nationwide, especially in the Northeast. I will say, going back to Nigeria, like I said, I was just there in December and parts of January, that, I did see an improvement, but I don't know if it's more the local government doing those improvements, or in my state, Anambra State, actually in Nnewi, the roads were a huge improvement. But again, I don't know if that's attributed to the government or to Jonathan Goodluck. So can you talk about just the infrastructure and what you think, the differences are in what Goodluck versus Buhari had talked about?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. In fact, I didn't even know you're also from the same state I come from. I'm also from a state, so that's a pretty good coincidence. Yeah. But, yeah, the fact of the matter is that Jonathan's administration did a pretty decent job when you're talking about infrastructural development. But we have to also remember that there is some role for the states as well. The states, Nigeria runs a federal state, type of situation, just like the United States. So some of the local roads were built by the state government. But the federal government is the one that builds the interstate highways, pretty much the same way it is here in the United States. So, but the biggest challenge that Buhari is going to face is a fiscal problem, because, like I said, oil provides about 80% of Nigeria's money for capital expenditures. And all of a sudden, that revenue source is drying up. So until Buhari's administration figures out how to make up with all this shortfall, to be honest with you, promises are easier made than kept. So he's going to have a very serious problem with revenue sources, unless tomorrow oil starts selling again at $100 a barrel. But I know that single factor alone will probably be one of the biggest obstacles against what Buhari may want to do. But again, we all support him, but we only hope he realizes that the election is over. Some of the promises made, he's not going to be able to keep them. And I'll give you one quick example. When Buhari was speaking at one of the cities, I believe he was in Owerri in Imo State, he promised that he will make the Nigerian Naira exchange rate, one Naira to $1. That's almost, people who understand this knows that it's almost very difficult, almost an impossible thing. The Naira is exchanging at the rate of about 280 today, I think. The last time I checked, 280 to one United States dollar.
Oh, so it's 280.
I'm sorry?
Oh, it's 280. Wow. Because it was
212. Yeah.
Gee.
Yeah, that's okay. Last time I checked. It fluctuates, so it may have changed again.
Yeah. Wow. That's a very, and people in the chat room, those who are in Nigeria listening, okay, 280. Yeah, people are saying 280, 270. Okay. So, yeah. So
it fluctuates anyway.
Yeah, it fluctuates. But, yeah, you're right, around 280, Paul. And so we're saying that, if he's saying that, again, just like the presidential election in America, when you're campaigning, you make a lot of promises. But Nigeria has decided, and everybody must support the president of Nigeria. Now, the last topic is energy. So Jonathan Goodluck says government privatization of the power generation and distribution companies will ensure regular power supplies in the future. And then Buhari says he will tackle a sector riddled with corruption and mismanagement, and he's referring to the energy sector. And he says he's going to adopt a market-based approach, and he favors exploration of non-oil sector. Again, we all know, unfortunately, when you go to Nigeria, yeah, you can get a generator, but there's no power, there's no steady supply of power. And But that has been a problem before President Goodluck. So do you think that played into this election?
You know, to some degree it did, but not to that extent. See, unfortunately, Nigerians have been used to this historic problem of lack of energy, power interruption.
Yeah.
And well-to-do Nigerians all have portable generators in their homes.
Exactly.
So it costs them a lot of money to buy the fuel to, supply them with energy they need. So, but I think Buhari can make some difference in the energy sector, but it really depends on if he continues the groundwork that has been laid by President Jonathan, because he has dramatically increased the energy output in Nigeria. I don't have the data, but everybody knows that he has significantly increased that, and whatever he's doing is working. And we hope that Buhari can study his policies in this direction and try to strengthen it or make it better than it is, than just going back to the drawing board. But again, like you said, we all Nigerians we don't have any other choice but to support the legitimately elected president, because if he solves Nigerian problems, he's solving it for everyone, for the good of everyone.
Exactly, exactly. Somebody in the chat room mentioned the First Lady, Patience, and said that she was one of the reasons they didn't vote for Jonathan Goodluck. Again, these are personal opinions and not views expressed or the beliefs of MGN Radio, because I personally think Patience was a great role model. A lot of people talked about her, not being educated or loud or, but I thought that she supported, her husband and the president well. What do you think about the First Lady? There's been pictures going around, of her crying and, just very, very sad. And she's going to be packing out of the Aso Villa. So what do you think about Jonathan Goodluck's wife playing a role in the election?
Yeah, it's just like any other country. The American First Lady, played some role in elections in the United States. But, Nigerians are more comfortable seeing women play much, behind-the-scenes role, but I don't think it's the way that we ought to go. Nigeria is a free, democratic country, and men and women have equal rights. And men, women are just as important as anybody else. Now, Buhari also said during the campaign that he's going to abolish the Nigeria's First Lady's office.
Buhari said he's going to abolish the First Lady's office?
Yes, yes.
Wow.
He made that. He said it was not constitutional. And I'm sure enough, the Constitution doesn't have to talk about the First Lady's office. But he did say he will abolish it, and it didn't sit well with so many people, because some of us saw that as a policy aimed against women. But the problem for him, though, is that his wife, Aisha, is now all over the place, pretty much as loud as Jonathan's wife is. His wife has already started, taking positions. And so I really don't see how Buhari is going to, make her disappear all of a sudden, despite the strong role that she also played in his election.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't know if that's true or not. I can't see, because as everybody knows, Michelle Obama here in America played a vital role in helping our current president, Barack Obama, win the election. And I know patience was out there, but I think you made a good point. You know, some Nigerians don't want the role of the first lady, which Jonathan Goodluck was really a champion for women and women rights. And I think he let his wife play a very important, vital role. And she was at the forefront of a lot of things, but maybe a lot of people didn't like that. So, yeah, I can't. If he abolishes it, I think there will be a lot of trouble with that.
Yes, you're right. I don't think it's one of those election promises. But he did speak to that. I mean, I have some of that information. That I can, eventually provide to you. But he did address that he will abolish the first lady's office, because it's not in Nigeria's constitution. But we'll see how that works out.
Yes. I mean, I can't imagine him abolishing the first lady's office. Now, someone in the chat room mentioned that the first lady he married, the first lady, we've heard different reports. She was 12, he was 40, she was 18, he was 40. Again, I don't, have you heard anything about that?
The truth of the matter is, it's, that cuts into religion, and Muslims have their beliefs in religion, and we just leave that religious issue alone. I do know somebody did say that he married Aisha when she was 19 years old, but I really don't know too much about that. And again, it's all caught across issues of religion.
Exactly. I was trying to find, because somebody had posted Jonathan Goodluck's letter to the people of Nigeria, and I was trying to find that to read that, because that was a pretty humbling letter. But if I find it, I will definitely read it before the show is over. But again, Nigeria has decided 2015, the election. What, any other words or thoughts about this whole election process, Paul? Do you think it's a good thing for Nigeria? Do you think we're going to see a change in Nigeria? Oh, and somebody in the chat room said that she was 18. But, like, I think you said it great, Paul. We can leave that, part alone. So going back to, the whole election process, the winner, he takes office in May, President-elect Buhari, everybody's saying a new day and a new Nigeria are upon us. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I certainly hope that everybody is right on this. I'm an optimistic-looking person, and I would want Buhari to succeed. However, those of us that understand, where things are in terms of Nigeria's, economic situation, we know it's a difficult work that he has signed up. He will succeed or fail, and I hope he succeeds, based on his administration understanding the realities that, they're really, up against the hill, and separate facts from fiction, and just don't worry about all the, campaign talk. And now, sooner or later, come May, next few months, the mantle is going to pass over to him. So, I think it's a mixed feelings for me. For one thing, I like the fact that this election was, went fairly well, contrary to, some widely held beliefs that this would be the end of Nigeria. So in a sense, democracy has been strengthened in Nigeria. The part that I'm not, and I have to tell you this because I don't hide that I supported Jonathan. The fact is that the other side of the equation is that we need consistency in Nigeria. We're not going to do much better if every 4 years we change government. You know, Jonathan has been, you know, really made a very solid groundwork for subsequent actions and economic plans and agenda. Nigeria would have been better off if they had stayed the course, maybe worked with the president, the current president, to make changes, you know, to fight corruption or to find ways to fight Boko Haram and defeat them. Those are the two main issues that, you know, he lost the election for. But, again, we'll see what happens. We're all optimistic. We'll support Buhari, and we hope and pray that he succeeds for Nigeria.
That's right. That's right. And I found the letter. You know, my producer had printed it out. So I just want to read Jonathan Goodluck's letter. This is his letter that he posted to Nigerians, and it starts with fellow, and I'll just read them. The highlights, but it starts with fellow Nigerians. I thank you all for turning out for the March 28 general elections. I promised the country free and fair elections. I've kept my word. I have also expanded the space for Nigerians to participate in a democratic process. Although some people have expressed mixed feelings about the results announced by the Independent National Electoral Commission, INEC, I urge those who may feel aggravated to follow due process on our Constitution and electoral laws in seeking redress. As I have always affirmed, nobody's ambition is worth the blood of any Nigerian. The unity, stability, and progress of our dear country is more important than anything else. I congratulate all Nigerians for successfully going through the process of the March 28th elections with enthusiasm. Like I mentioned, Nigeria Decides hashtag. If you go to any social media, you will see the hashtag, and you can see all the enthusiasm. Then he states, to my colleagues in the PDP, I thank you for your support. Today, the PDP should be celebrating rather than mourning. We have established a legacy of democratic freedom, transparency, economic growth, free and fair elections. For the past 16 years, we have steered the country away from ethnic and regional politics. We created a pan-Nigerian political party and brought home to the people economic development and social transformation. Through patriotism and diligence, we have built the biggest and most patriotic party in Nigerian history. We must stand together as a party and look to the future with renewed optimism. I thank all Nigerians once again for this great opportunity I was given to lead this country and assure you that I'll continue to do my best at the helm of national affairs until the end of my tenure. I have conveyed my personal best wishes to General Muhammad Buhari. May God Almighty continue to bless the Federal Republic of Nigeria. I thank you all. Jonathan, good luck. And it got like 50,000, you know, likes, and it's been shared over 10,000 times. So a lot of people, you know, really admire Jonathan, good luck. You know, what did you think about that letter?
That is a wonderful one. But that's in line with Jonathan's persona and demeanor, right, from time. He's a very democratic, person. And by the way, this is the first time that a sitting incumbent president has been, you know, defeated in the history of Nigeria. And that tells you much for the fact that he was able to handle this. The only reason why he probably lost is because he played by the rules, you know. Others would have, definitely done things to assure that they remain in position. I know it was widely felt thing during the Obasanjo's rule that, you know, he would have been in power regardless of whatever votes that were. So Jonathan is a very good and decent person. And I do also hope that some of his qualities, you know, will be, you know, duplicated in Buhari's way of doing things. It was graceful for him to reach out and call Buhari and congratulate him. Like I said, nobody has done this in the past. So things are, it is a more positive reflection that, you know, many Nigerians to get out of this current process, because it's largely peaceful, though there were a few attacks, which has always been the case with or without election. Boko Haram tyranny and terrorism has always been there. But again, we will wish him all the best, and we'll be here again to also, you know, praise what he's doing right, but more importantly, condemn what we think he's doing wrong. So that's the nature of things. And many of us have access to the internet and can reach hundreds of thousands of people, and that's the kind of global world we live in.
Exactly, and I love that. And we have like 5 minutes left on the show, so I want to thank everyone for tuning in. This show is recorded, so I'll send out the link on Facebook, and you can listen to this dialogue if you are not able to listen to it live. We really, really, really appreciate our special guest, Paul. And say your last name, Paul. I want to make sure I'm not butchering it.
Aranica.
Oh, Aranica, that's what I said. And
yes,
he is, you know, adjunct faculty, you know, political analyst. As you can tell, he has a wealth of information on politics in Nigeria. You know, you can go to Amazon and get his books. He's an author. He's an adjunct faculty at the Grand Canyon University, and it's just Paul. And are you on Twitter, Paul? How can people, if they want to reach out to you, how can they reach you?
Well, I'm on Twitter. I'm also on Facebook. If they just Paul Oranik on Facebook is the easiest way to reach me.
Awesome, awesome. We thank you so much because we know you're extremely busy. So thank you, sir, for coming to our show and just talking politics. And I think you said it best. And, you know, we've seen a lot of debates in different chat rooms, you know, about this whole election. But I think you said it best. You know, this current president, Jonathan Goodluck, you know, has a lot of qualities that are to be admired. But we as Nigerians are pulling together for the president-elect, Muhammad Buhari, you know, and the first lady. And I got a funny thing before I go. I got a Facebook friend request from the first lady of Nigeria. So I don't know if that's real or not. We'll see from Muhammad Buhari's wife. So we will see if that's real or not, you know, Facebook. But, you know, I did send her the link, so she's listening in. We do, we are all going to stand behind the president-elect, Muhammad Buhari, and we just all want change for Nigeria. We all want security. We all want jobs. We all want a lot of the things that, you know, we expect from the country. So God bless Nigeria, and you know, thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. So with that being said, next week, Wednesday, tune in. We're going to have a special guest. And like I said before, please remember to always continue to pray for Nigeria during this time of transition. And continue to follow My Good Nanny on Facebook as well as Twitter, as well as Instagram and Pinterest. We're everywhere. And if you have not signed up for the 5th Dare to Aspire Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, it's going to be amazing. June 12th, I know if you're Nigerian, you know that date, but June 12th and June 13th, it is going to happen in Atlanta, our 5th Dare to Aspire Conference, inspiring women and moms for greatness in business. Thank you, and have a great day. Bye.